This is the Read On Air podcast from RNIB.
Hello and welcome to Read On Air, the show all about books that belongs to you. I'm your host, Red Sale, and this week we're reflecting on the world through the looking glass of satire. Someone I suspect Dorothy Parker would have thoroughly approved of is Paul Beattie. His book, The Sellout, won last year's Man Booker Prize. It's a wickedly funny social satire set in contemporary Los Angeles. Robert Kirkwood wanted to find out more.
At the zoo, I stood in front of the primate cage listening to a woman marvel at how presidential the 400-pound gorilla looked, sitting astride a shorn oaken limb, keeping a watchful eye over his caged brood. When her boyfriend, his finger tapping the informational placard, pointed out the presidential silverback's name coincidentally was Baraka, the woman laughed aloud until she saw me, the other 400-pound gorilla in the room, stuffing something that might have been the last of a Big Stick popsicle or a Chiquita banana in my mouth. Then she became disconsolate, crying and apologizing for having spoken her mind and my having been born. "Some of my best friends are monkeys," she said accidentally. It was my turn to laugh.
That was Prentice Onayemi reading from the Booker Prize-winning book, The Sellout. And Paul Beattie joined me on the line.
That's a quirky little book about a guy who's from a town that's disappeared off the map in Southern California, a little town outside of Los Angeles. And he decides to put the town back on a map, him and a weird ex-child star actor friend of his, and they decide to put the town on the map by reinstituting racial segregation.
Now, is it hard? It's a very funny book. Is it hard to be funny about that?
Nah. I don't know. I just write the way I write, and usually it comes out humorous at some level. It's just how I think about things and how I tend to put them down on the page. So, I mean, the writing part is hard. I mean, it's extremely hard, but I don't know, the jokes just come, you know, and whenever they come, that's when I put them in there.
Now, history has been made as you're the first American to win the Booker Prize. Was there a fear that it wouldn't translate to a British reading audience?
I mean, I think the book, for me, does feel really American, which is not something I think about the stuff that I write very often, but it does feel really American. But as far as I can tell, there's some resonation here, and so I think that's good. I mean, that's translating for some folks, for sure. So, and apparently with the Man Booker people, so I'm deeply thankful for that.
Now, one thing we don't get as a blind or partially sighted reader is the cover. How does the cover reflect the book?
That's an interesting question. So the cover is something called a lawn jockey, which is like out of this old tradition of like during slavery and like immediately after slavery, like race jockeys in America were usually black men. And so people started having these little lawn jockeys in front of their houses. And at some time, I guess probably in the 50s, 60s, 70s, those things just became kind of racist iconography.
Mm.
And so now you still see them, but they're never black, or very, very rarely they'll be white. You know, it's just like a guy in a racing kit holding a lantern. They'll be about like maybe 2 to 3 feet high. And yeah, they're just some kind of weird thing. And at some level, it just, if you had one of those outside of your house, it just said something about your cultural attitudes, I guess. So they're out of fashion.
I understood where she was coming from. This whole city's a Freudian slip of the tongue. A concrete hard-on for America's deeds and misdeeds. Slavery? Manifest Destiny? Laverne and Shirley? Standing by idly while Germany tried to kill every Jew in Europe? Why, some of my best friends are the Museum of African Art, the Holocaust Museum, the Museum of the American Indian, the National Museum of Women and the Arts, and furthermore, I'll have you know my sister's daughter is married to an orangutan.
Another clip of The Sellout, read there by Prentice Onayemi. And you haven't heard the audio version, so you don't know how the book translates into audio.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I think I think there's an audio version in the States, which I just haven't listened to because, you know, the book sounds a certain way in my head. I just kind of don't want to hear it sound differently. Or even have it sound better than it does in my head. That would be hard to cope with. I don't know. What's funny is like there's a lot of weird bits in the book. Like there's a map in the book, and some chart and some charts and some little kind of things. So I'm wondering how they do that in terms of audio. Like, if they just skip that or if they try to, I don't know, that's interesting. I mean, I think, you know, if I think about it, I'm sure a lot of the topics and themes covered in the book are familiar to British readers, you know, whether they're very American or not, you know. I don't think that it's stuff that just is completely unrelatable. I'd be surprised.
Now, where were you when you heard the news that you were on the shortlist?
That's a good question. I was probably at home, I think, sifting through my emails. I think that's how I found out my publisher told me.
And we've heard from publishers, certainly here, that it goes a bit crazy when you're nominated. Was it the same over there?
I think so. I mean, it's a fairly small house, but I feel like apparently they've been through the process already, so they were not prepared for it, but I think they were able to deal with it. But, you know, they seem excited, and they're pleased. I'm pleased. And but, yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have, I think.
Another nice problem, I suppose, coming up is that you'll have lots of live events. How comfortable are you reading it in public?
I'm okay. I don't like reading particularly, but I'm okay. I get through it, and I usually try to. I usually end up reading really fast and trying to get it over with. But usually it's fine.
Because the amount of jokes in it and the delivery in some of it does. It would lend itself to a stand-up show, and, and stand-up comedy does come into the novel at some point as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny now that you think about it. I don't talk about this very often, but, you know, I think this is a guess, I'm not sure, but I think a large part depends on, for me, what I've noticed, it depends on who's in the audience, and, you know, like, I mean, there's a lot of sensitive, or things that people find sensitive in the book, you know, some of the jokes, and so I think there can be some feelings of guilt when you're in public. Like, I think sometimes people are a little afraid to laugh at certain parts, or like waiting for me to laugh to give them permission that it's okay to laugh. And so that part can be a little strange, I think.
So the color of the audience would affect the
Yeah, I think it's color. I don't think it's just color. I think it's also, for me, I've found like geographically it depended where I was, what happened in the news the day before. You know, the generation of the audience, older, younger, you know. But, yeah, it's just different.
And finally, did you start writing this before the current rise of Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it took me almost 5 years to write this book. And the book's been done for probably close to 3 years, I bet.
And yet it's perhaps more appropriate given the current political situation now.
Yeah, I don't think for me, from my perspective, it's not more appropriate. If it was appropriate then, it's appropriate now. And, you know, I think odds are it's going to be appropriate tomorrow, you know, unfortunately.
All it takes is a day trip through Georgetown and Chinatown. A slow saunter past the White House, Phoenix House, Blair House, and the local crack house for the message to become abundantly clear. Be it ancient Rome or modern-day America, you're either citizen or slave, lion or Jew, guilty or innocent, comfortable or uncomfortable. And here in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, if between the handcuffs and the slipperiness of this chair's leather upholstery, the only way I can keep from spilling my ass ignominiously onto the goddamn floor is to lean back until I'm reclined at an angle just short of detention room nonchalance, but definitely well past courtroom contempt.
Paul, thanks so much for joining me today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Robert and to Paul Beattie. The Sellout is available from the RNIB Library, where each year, thanks to a long-standing agreement between the Man Booker Prize and the RNIB, all the shortlisted titles are available in Braille, large print, and on audio, so that we, alongside the judges, can ponder who the winner should be.
Thanks for downloading the Read On Air podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.